Hello and good morning. This is Alonzo Bowden with a very abbreviated episode of Who's Paying Attention number 259. Now, I say very abbreviated because I'm recording this at a Holiday Inn Crown Plaza in Englewood, New Jersey at 3:15 a.m., getting ready for a 5:50 a.m. flight. So it's going to be a quick podcast. I just wanted to check in. I wanted to talk to you guys about a few things. I appreciate you. And why am I up at 3:15 a.m. in Englewood, New Jersey? Because I'm in the midst of a crazy schedule. We're doing Family Feud Live, the celebrity edition. I'm the host. We have Brian Dunkelman as the announcer. We have Pauly Shore and Chris Kattan as our two celebrities. Those two are hilarious. The dynamic, the best way I can describe it is Pauly has become the annoying little brother to Chris Kattan. And it's really funny and it's a fun show, but we're bouncing around. It's just a crazy schedule. We did Englewood tonight. We were in Seneca, which is up near Buffalo. Yesterday, the day before that, we were in Springfield, Massachusetts. The day before that, we were in Morristown, New Jersey. I'm going to Vegas today to do a show, and we're headed down, the tour is headed down to North Carolina and then Virginia, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, kind of a crazy schedule, and I told you about that before I started it. I love doing it. It's a fun show, but I got to do the podcast sometime. So obviously the big news today is that the American Special Forces got the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Of course, Trump's taking credit for doing this. Now, okay, I'm going to give him a victory because this was done under the Trump administration, much in the same way that bin Laden was killed under the Obama administration. Oh, let me stop lying. Much in the same way. No, it wasn't much in the same way. It just happened at the right time. The big difference, of course, is, as we all know, Trump's going to take all kind of credit for doing this. Now, it started, and again, the military, the special forces, the troops that did this are amazing. I have nothing but respect for them. Honestly, I don't know what's going to come out, but you know as well as I do, we can be pretty sure that they didn't tell Trump what they were doing until after it was done. Because he couldn't have held on to this. He couldn't have. Maybe they did. Maybe they had to. They didn't tell Congress. The White House is supposed to tell Congress when an operation like this takes place, which they didn't. He did tell Russia. He told Russia and he told Turkey, claiming they had to fly through Russian airspace. That may be true. That's the thing about this White House. You never know what is true. There are some things that were taken. Now, listen, I didn't watch a speech because I never watch a Trump speech. I can't. I physically can't sit there and listen to him lie. But this started, the ridiculousness started Saturday night when he said that he'd have a big announcement Sunday morning. And he said he wanted to give you a big announcement so you'd be ready to listen, so you wouldn't be out playing golf or something like that. At which point, I think he was talking to himself. He was reminding himself, don't go play golf. So he made this announcement. And he talked about how Baghdadi, now apparently Baghdadi was chased, he was cornered, he grabbed three of his children and he blew himself up, which is a terrible way to die, especially to kill three of your children with you or whatever. So it started out, Trump said he died after running into a dead-end tunnel, whimpering and crying and screaming all the way. Another Trump quote from the speech, the thug who tried so hard to intimidate others spent his last moments in utter fear, total panic and dread, terrified of the American forces bearing down on him. What's funny to me about that is, couldn't we say that about Trump in regards to the impeachment? Think about it. The thug who tried to intimidate others spent his last moments in utter fear, in total panic and dread, terrified of American forces bearing down on him, and then he was impeached. You see? You see how it works? I'm just saying. So he kept saying this, He died like a dog. He died like a coward, and so on. I'm not even going to go through everything. There's a thing, the 41 most shocking lines from Donald Trump's Baghdadi announcement, and some of them are just hilarious, but we flew very, very low and very, very fast. Well, that explains it. Now, here's one I want you to try to explain. He talks about the internet and these terrorists who use the internet for recruiting, all right? And we're well aware of this, that it's been done. But this is what he said. He said, you know, they use the internet better than almost anybody in the world, perhaps other than Donald Trump. So terrorists use the internet better than anyone in the world except Donald Trump. And then he kept going. And what they've done with the internet through recruiting and everything, that's why he died like a dog. He died like a coward. He was whimpering, screaming, crying. I don't even know how that makes sense. Now, did he make it about himself? Quote, I've been looking for him for 3 years. I've been looking for him. That, yeah, of course you have. This is the biggest one, perhaps, that we've ever captured, because this is the one that built ISIS and beyond. The biggest one we've ever captured, I don't know. Do we measure our terrorists that way? Because that bin Laden, that one was pretty big. So I could go on and on about the ridiculousness of his statement, but I won't. The good thing is that the leader of ISIS has been cornered, killed himself. However it happened, he's gone. And that's got to be a big blow against ISIS, and that's great. Pulling the troops out of Syria, still a mistake, and so on. But some good happened. Now, one of the things, and this picture will definitely go around, it's the Situation Room Baghdadi raid photo. And it really is kind of a comical picture, because it's Trump and Pence and their whole crew, and they have their serious face on. It literally looks like someone said, all right, give us your grown-up face, look serious, and take the picture. Why is the picture suspect? Well, anytime you have this situation going on, there's a lot of technology in the room. Trump even acknowledged the technology in the video and so on. In the picture, all of the cables are unplugged. Like, you ever been in one of these conference rooms, video conference room, where it's set up, you can connect computers and laptops, they have screens, and so all of the cables in the picture are just laying on the table unplugged. It's not even a good job of, you know, they're not even good at faking it. They're not even good at faking it. So there's that. Finally, and this will be, I hope, the last I talk about this Nimrod on this podcast, Trump went to Game 5 of the World Series. The Nationals are in the World Series. It's been an interesting World Series. The Nationals won the first two games at Houston. Houston has now won the three games at Washington. So nobody's won a home game yet, but Houston is up 3-2. Trump went to the Game 5 in Washington. That's significant because he's never gone to a professional baseball game, even though that's something presidents usually do. Not only was he booed, the crowd started chanting, lock him up, lock him up. Wonder where he's heard that before. Kudos to you, Washington Nationals fans. You may not win the World Series, but you won. Thank you. Oh, wait, I'm not done. I'm not done talking about this Nimrod. Let's talk deficit, okay? Because he told us that he was going to end the deficit in a year. It was going to take 1 year for him to clean up everything. You know, he's a businessman. He's the greatest businessman of all time. It's big business, big business, the biggest business ever. And he wrote a book, and he's done many great things. The biggest businessman ever. And he was going to end the deficit and so on. The deficit's gone up 26% in the past year. It is now $984 billion. Well done, you. Well done. I mean, he's saving his business acumen and I like using the word acumen because he doesn't know what it means. He's saving that, I guess. In other news of people I'm not too crazy about, Kanye West has dropped an album called Jesus is King. As you know, Kanye, after the nonsense last year with Saturday Night Live and his trip to the White House and all of that, he found Jesus. He was Jesus for a while. He was Yeezus. And then he told us if Jesus came back, Jesus would want to meet him. And I guess he decided, no, okay, Jesus, I'll meet you. So he did this gospel album, Jesus is King. Now, I haven't heard the album, so I can't say whether it's good or bad. Reviews are mixed on it. A lot of people are saying it's certainly not gospel. The best review that I've read, this reviewer simply said that if you've been a fan of Kanye's music for the past 5 years, there's a lot to enjoy about Jesus is King. If you found a recent Kanye to be insufferable and musically hollow, well, the album likely won't shift your opinion. Isn't that funny how that's kind of how it works? If you have a belief about something or someone going in, what they do doesn't change it. I mean, this has been the case with this administration the whole time. So, you know, if this is my problem with Kanye, and I've said this before, the mental illness thing, right? That he uses it as an excuse for his behavior, which is nothing but self-aggrandizing behavior, look at me behavior, listen to me behavior, I want to be in the news, blah, blah, blah. Then when it backfires on him, well, you know, I'm mentally ill. And I can't stand that because there are people who truly are bipolar and dealing with mental health issues, and they're having a really hard time and they're struggling, and they don't get to do that. They don't get to just pretend it's an excuse and get away with this behavior. Okay. Also, you got to look at who he's been talking to with this finding Jesus thing. I mean, he's been working with guys like Joel Osteen and Falwell wanting to preach at their churches. And these are the guys who are all about that, all about the dollar. So I say it before, I'll say it again. I don't think this is Christianity. I think this is the business of Christianity. Maybe the business of Christianity needed a theme song, and who better to write it than Kanye? California's on fire. That's a bad thing. Numerous fires in Northern and Southern California. Big fires, power out. It's been rough. I haven't been home. Some neighbors of mine texted me and told me the power was out. Super high winds. No fires where I live. A lot of smoke. The Sepulveda Basin's not too far from my house. The Tick Fire is near where I used to live. I definitely know the area that's on fire. Northern California, Sonoma, those areas, once again, just getting devastated by fires and high winds. And it's terrible. It's terrible what's going on. People are losing their homes, businesses, people with medical situations. You know, when electricity goes out, when power goes out, if you're in the hospital, if you need equipment, I mean, I was reading an article that said, you know, survival has now become food, water, air, and electricity because so much of our society now, it runs on power, plain and simple. So to lose power is not only inconvenient, but it can be life-threatening for a lot of people. So my heart goes out to them. I wish them luck. The firefighters and first responders, what you do is unbelievable. What you do is unbelievable. I have been within a few miles of a forest fire. A forest fire is a living entity. You can hear it. You can actually hear it sucking the oxygen out of the air. It's such a massive thing. You know, nature is just so powerful. It's such a massive thing. It's really incredible. It's scary because if you're within miles, if you can see the fire, you understand that whatever way the wind blows, that's where the destruction's going. These men and women need these jumpers and firefighters, and they've learned to battle these fires, to direct these fires, and they're out there up against this thing. Man, you talk about brave, you talk about risky. You know, we joke about it. We joke about where bravery is and people talking. And the people who fight fires, these giant fires, unbelievable what they have to do. It's sad. It's sad that they keep going. It's even sadder that we're still going to pretend climate change isn't real. Climate change is real. There's more of these fires. It's hotter outside, drier, and so on. I read one article that said, and I've joked before about this, about California's fire season, right? California has two seasons, rain and fire, and that's the way it was for a long time. But this scientist said that no, fire season is all the time. From here on out, fire season will be all the time. What else do I want to go into? There's been a lot of just interesting things that have just kind of popped up, you know, that I've been looking at, some good, some bad. There are some times when you just wonder, what the hell were they thinking? So the NCAA has a thing called Inclusion Week. Now, the NCAA is in trouble. Okay, the NCAA runs college sports. California recently passed a law that's going to allow elite-level student-athletes to control their own image. In other words, sell their own jerseys and T-shirts, make some money because they need to. And the NCAA doesn't like it, so they're trying to say they're going to ban California schools from competing if they do this. But at the same time, 13 other states said, well, we're going to pass the same laws. So the NCAA is in trouble. It is a mess. It is a bad organization. You've watched college football and college basketball on TV. You know it is minor league for the pros. The players' jerseys are sold in the school store so the school can make money off of it. The coaches sign huge sneaker contracts so they make money. The university, everyone except the players, blah, blah, blah. So they try to do some PR, right? They try to look good. So the NCAA has a thing that they call Inclusion Week, and they want to show, you know, the diversity and the blah, blah, blah of, you know, and the reason I say blah, 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 I had someone write in and say they can't stand when I say that. Well, I can't go into every detail, but I will say this. The NCAA is trying to put out a thing showing that their athletes are more than student athletes. Of course, they want to show inclusion and diversity. So they had different athletes and they took statements from them and then they edited the statement, because you can't put the whole 15-minute statement of each athlete on a poster or a sign. But here's where they screwed up. So they show a black woman athlete, and hers says, I am an African-American woman. Then they show a white woman athlete, and hers says, I am a future doctor. Then they show another white woman athlete, and it says, I am a future corporate financier. Then they show a black male athlete, and it says, I am a brother. So let's get that. So the black woman, she's an African-American woman. She learned that in college. And the black guy, he learned, I'm a brother. Mizzou, of course, came out and said, well, it's a shortened statement. She said, I'm an African-American woman and I am a, you know, a student and I'm going to be blah. But they edited, and when they edited, for some reason, they only showed I'm an African-American woman. Same thing with the black guy. He said, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm this, that, but all they took out was, I am a brother. There was, in the article about this, Mizzou pulled this ad, by the way, because somebody tapped them on the shoulder and said, you know, you probably shouldn't do that. And the best trolling of the ad, you know, whenever something like this happens, you just have to go to Twitter and see the trolls, because the trolls are brilliant. I love these people who are so good on the internet. They're almost as good as ISIS in recruiting and Donald Trump. They're almost that good. The best one was they showed a white woman on the phone and it said, I am calling the manager. I love that one. So they pulled it and all of that. But there was an advertising executive who commented on this, and he said, this is why we have so many committees look at an ad before we send it. We said, no, it takes a long time, but we get as many diverse people as we can to look at something before we print it so things like this don't happen. Something tells me that if they had just, you know, gone down the hall just walk the campus, see a black person, say, hey, what do you think of this? They'd have said, yo, man, you can't just have a black guy say, I am a brother, underneath a white woman who says, I'm a future doctor. That ain't cool. But I guess they didn't do that. And now they found out. I am calling the manager. There's times when the internet is brilliant. The impeachment hearings continue. The Republicans in Congress threw a tantrum last week. The hearings are going on in secret because that's how committee hearings are done. That's how the committee hearings were done during the Clinton impeachment. That's how the committee hearings were done during the Nixon impeachment. The initial hearings are done in private. They allow people to talk. All these people saying, they're basically saying what we knew, that Trump was trying to make a deal with Ukraine against Biden and so forth. But the Republicans decided that they were going to storm the gates. And they walked in on the meeting and they said, we're not leaving and blah, 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 blah. Well, I think one of the, I wish I knew which one. I can't tell you. I can't name all these guys. But it was described as a head of hair led the, it was a Republican, and this guy has a pompadour. His hairstyle is a pompadour, and he was a leader. And they said a head of hair led the protest. Here's the thing. Anytime someone with a pompadour shows up, you ain't letting them in. If someone with a pompadour shows up at your front door, you're like, oh, hell no. You ain't coming in. You ain't coming in. So that's it. Listen, I think the impeachment is going to go through the House. The House is going to vote to impeach. McConnell and the Senate are going to say no, and they're not going to remove him from office this way. But it's going to go through because we know it's true. There's just so much bad news about Trump, and I just get tired of reading it. You know, just the headlines. Trump attacks Obama as he spends 283 years of a presidential salary on golf. So he claims he's not taking a presidential salary, but he has played golf so much. And he says, you know, I give it away. I give it away. I give away my presidential salary. Did Obama give away his salary? Blah, blah, blah. No. They've spent enough on golf for 283 years of presidential salary. His scheme to have the G7 summit at Doral so that they would have to pay for his hotel rooms and ballrooms and basically rebuild his failing resort in Florida, that was shut down. You know, it was obviously illegal and shouldn't have been done, but he claims he's a victim. I'm sorry, because I said I'm not going to just keep going to Trump stories, but ugh. It's hard not to. Okay, so that's it. I'm going to stop. That's how I'll stop doing it. I'll just stop. I will shut up. Many have said I should have shut up a long time ago. Basketball, the NBA season has started. I'm very happy about that. The Clippers are very good. I'm very happy about that. They opened the season beating the Lakers. They beat Golden State. Seems everybody's going to be whipping Golden State's ass. Golden State, for those who aren't a basketball fan, have been the super team for the last 5 years. They at one point started 5 All-Stars. Just an amazing, amazing team. And this year, it's all falling apart. And, you know, now that people can beat them, people are enjoying beating them. In the NFL, New England's still undefeated. Looks like Brady may do it again. I don't follow the NFL closely anymore. But that New England team looks really good. And as I said before, Houston looks like they're going to win the World Series. It's Halloween. Have a good time. Be safe. Listen, I do a podcast called Fear Not with Barry Glassner. It's a great podcast. We talked about Halloween. There's not going to be a razor blade in the apple. Nobody's putting heroin in the kids' candy or any of that stuff. Don't be afraid of that. Trick or treat. Keep your kids safe. Don't run around in traffic. Wear bright colored clothing if you're out there at night. Use common sense. That's all you have to do. Use common sense. Have a good Halloween. Ladies, if you decide to dress sexy as so many of you do, go for it. Have fun. If you're wearing that sexy Mr. Rogers costume, there might be something to talk about, but we'll talk about it after Halloween. I want you to have a good time. What do I have coming up? I am going to be on the Family Feud Live Tour, as I said, until October 30th. I'm going to be in Santa Barbara this Friday, November 1st, which is going to be a lot of fun. I love Santa Barbara. I'm doing a show up there. And then the following, well, a week after that, November 11th to 17th, I'm going to be in Las Vegas at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand. I got to get out of here. Man, I got a plane to catch. I missed a plane last week. This is how dumb I am. I looked at the arrival time instead of the departure time. And when I realized that it was too late to get to the airport. So I'm not missing this flight. I'm going to get out of here. I got to go. I hope you guys are having a great day, having a great week. I hope you're safe from whatever's going on out there. Fire, smoke, or stupidity. They're all dangerous. Who's paying attention? You are. And I thank you.